he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. What's been happening?
Now a little later than than we anticipated this week, so apologies for the delay in getting the pod out.
I've been getting harassed over it. People been asking, where is it?
All down to me that I've been in Scotland, haven't I? And we'll come on to Scotland as part of the Birdie Bogey Bus, because there's some great stories.
But it was nice to get out. I played the S&A Invitational today, though.
Yeah, great weather, yeah. Great company. Ollie and Bri took the money back.
Took the fivers back.
Yeah, we beat them last time, didn't we?
Bri didn't speak to us after the first fucking six holes or something, did he? He's like, I want them fivers back. We were like, chill out, mate.
Great company.
It was nice to play it without... It was howling and rain and wind for once.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, it's very rare. You get a calm day on the links, isn't it?
Really calm. Like, if you were doing any other activity, you wouldn't even notice the wind, would you? But there was still a wind up there.
It does get up on certain holes when the course opens up. Like 14, we had a bit of a... There always seems to be wind on 14, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a wind. And that's got the most protection. It's actually sheltered back, but it feels like the wind blows so hard.
A little tunnel.
I just don't understand that, yeah.
No, but I enjoyed it. Some good, some bad, some ugly.
Yeah, that is exactly.
A few birdies, a few bogeys, a few busts.
Definitely, that was it. Well, it's just a game of golf. It's brutal, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is. I think I had some good stuff out there, some horrendous stuff out there, and it was the same in Scotland. So I think after I've played like four rounds of golf now in 5 days... I'm going to start having to play in more competitions. I'm teed in for this Saturday, but I think the consistency, that preparation is just not there. And it's
practice, though, isn't it? You get out what you put in, don't you? And
You're right. But to a certain standard, you can get away with not practicing and still find a certain swing that gets you around the golf club at the minute. Like, I've got no swing thoughts whatsoever.
No.
I say I'll come on to Scotland as part of my birdie bogey bus, but... some frustrations there, definitely.
No, definitely, yeah. Well, in other news, J.R. Smith, after earning a reported like $92 million playing basketball, remember we talked about him?
Going to college.
He finally got his NCAA eligibility.
Oh, did he get it in the end? Yeah. Brilliant.
So, like, it's mad, isn't it? Like, he's obviously, like, I know money's not really anything or fame or nothing, but like, little college kids playing against like this.
Oh, it'd be inspirational for them, and hopefully it starts a trend, you know, because
obviously they're going to be expecting him to get the drinks in at the end.
At least, yeah. You definitely want a room with them, wouldn't you?
there'll be rumours circulating.
Definitely. Well, I think the biggest key will be like that winning mentality he's got. He's obviously, we said last time, he's won two rings, hasn't he?
Yeah.
NBA rings, so it's that winning mentality and that he can pass on to the younger athletes to tell them what it takes to get to the top. So that's where they're going to get the advantage, because like, what did you say, he plays off 5 or 6?
I think 5, yeah.
So he's probably not going to break into the varsity team for the first season as a freshman, maybe the second season. He's obviously going back from an educational perspective, isn't he?
You don't know though, because he doesn't care. It's not like the rest of his life's hinging on college like these other kids. Like, he could just be out there playing golf every day. Like, he's got no one on his back. He's just... It's a totally different outlook on it.
Well, yeah, totally different mindset. Yeah, but I think anybody who's playing in that team, and I think even just going to the tournament and being in and around them, you know, he's probably going to be doing speeches and things to the kids. Yeah. And I think it's just it's a good step. And so, and obviously, not everybody's going to do it because it's a time thing. What professional athlete who's done everything they need to do in their career is going to go back to college? Not many will want to do it, will he? But I think it's good that he's made that step, and the NCAA have accepted them. That's another massive step. People can follow in his footsteps then and be inspirational like he was.
But I mean, I think as well, if he's going out there and he's done basketball and he knows that he got took from school and he's put the hard work in and the graft and the hours and the free throws and I don't know what position he plays, but obviously they have to run and pre-season, got that athlete mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to obviously go and bring that and say to them, look, you want to go partying or do you want to... Wouldn't be like Tiger Woods. Like, Tiger Woods wasn't doing this. Like, he couldn't, and it's like first person.
He'll instill that winner mentality. Yeah, exactly. A million %. Sick, I totally agree. Yeah, he can use his experiences to give them a head start in life, because he's older, isn't he? He's more mature. He's been there. He's done that. he can let them know his mistakes.
And it's not like an old coach who, like you say, you've got an old coach who's like, oh, I done this in 1981. It's like, nah, I won it last year, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you watch me do that.
Yeah,
you probably
exactly.
bet on me in that. Like, listen to what I'm saying.
It'd be good to follow his journey. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. So it's definitely interesting. Definitely, even though I'm not a big NBA fan and I didn't really know who he was before we spoke about him, now I've got a vested interest now to see how he gets on. But just to see how the college team performs as well and whether he has inspired them to perform better and train harder and to get that winning mentality, yeah?
Well, speaking of winning mentality, knock, knock, knock on the door, Tony Finau.
Wow, I know, the forgotten man, I like to call him. He seems to have just like disappeared for a few months, didn't he? Because remember we had that spell where it was second
just,
every week.
He just thought, like, I'm sick of finishing second, I'm just going to hang on a bit till I can win.
Well, he did actually turn around and say, losing in front of the whole world, it's what made him more and more hungry. Obviously, he hopes he doesn't have to wait another 5 years. But
a million percent.
Even though he's won on tour, the Puerto Rico Open, no disrespect to it, it's not one where the superstars turn up. So if you're going to win one, then, you know, they're the type of events that you're going to win if you're not used
it's
to playing.
It's a 300-pointer in it on the roster where
exactly.
this is like 2,000-pointer.
Like, this is one of the biggest tournaments that you can win, the first playoff event. You've got 125 of the best players on the PGA Tour this season playing in it. So there's no... You're not ducking anybody. So, and you know, he's going head to head with Cam Smith and John Rahm, the world number one, and beating them.
Exactly.
And then going to a playoff, knowing how many times you finish second, squeezing it to a playoff.
He was 0-3 in playoffs before that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So, all credit to him.
Yeah.
Like, well, he's been through the mill, hasn't he, really?
1,975 days since his last win. So, 5 years it was in total, just over 5 years. So,
he's
I mean.
39 top tens.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
39 top
threes. He's had 19 top threes.
Jesus.
Like, that's a 1-2 shots away from winning. He could be a 10, 11, 12-time winner on tour.
I know.
You know, but these are the small margins. We speak about it all the time on the podcast. Like, you know, Cam Smith in the playoff, ballooning that driver off the tee, and that's one bad swing.
I reckon as soon as Finau seen that sailing out of bounds, he was just like... Thank God.
It's sort of been one for
then
him.
He thought, I'm going to be right. I can still make bogey. He can still make a bogey with a second ball. And then he seen it go in the bunker and he thought, thank double God.
Yeah, but it shows you the difference in golf and how difficult golf is because 24 hours, obviously, because we had the Hurricane Henry, didn't we? So the play was suspended on the Sunday. But on the Saturday, Cam Smith shoots 11 birdies and has a putt for 59 around the course, makes a new course record. Couldn't miss a shot or a putt, no matter, or a drive. Everything was just perfection on the Saturday. And then obviously,
looked at us all, that whole front nine though, didn't he, as well? He was winging drives all over the place. Like
He wasn't swinging it the best, he didn't think he had it
at all.
Checking that's got the day that we didn't play, do you think that's got something to do
with
it?
He thought he got pumped up when you put so much into a 60 that the day off was going to do him well, but like I think it didn't really do him well.
Like the adrenaline was going, yeah.
Back nine and stuff to get into the playoff and sorts of things. But
it's a lot of time to think, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially not even just a day off. You're trapped in your room.
Yeah,
like the hurricane.
Well, a lot of them were hanging around as well, weren't they? Because the hurricane got suspended on the Saturday night, was it? Or was it the Sunday morning?
I think it was the Saturday night because I've seen a few posts saying like
they knew it was coming.
Let's go Monday.
Monday. Exactly. So, you know, you've got to give it to him, haven't you, Tony Finau, when he's been through so much adversity and so many second places, so much heartbreak.
No, definitely.
All right, yeah, I know we always say it, don't we? Yeah, but look at the checks he's getting at the end of the day. I think he's in excess of $22 million now with prize winnings. But for somebody who's got the cash and the money, it's not about that, is it? It's about cementing yourself as a legend in the game, isn't it? And we're talking there, how many top 10 finishes did you say?
39,
19 top 3 finishes, you know.
Joke.
That's the difference. He could potentially have won like 10 times on tour.
What, did he have 3 or 4 seconds in a row?
Yeah.
What's that about?
I know, just could not get it over that. And the amount of opportunities he had as well. What was it when he, Max Homer?
Yeah.
when Max Homer stuck it to the tree in the playoff hole, and you think, and then Max Homer gets up and down the par three, and then he just puts it in the bunker, loses. It's
wasn't it?
And you're thinking he's going to win. He's surely going to win that tournament because he's up against the tree. Homer makes the unbelievable up and down, ends up taking the tournament off him, and you're like, is that the Genesis? Wow. Was it?
The Genesis.
Yeah, unbelievable. So one thing he did say, which again, you know, we talk about him all the time. He one of the first people who received a text message from Tiger Woods.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, the man's watching. He's itching to get back.
He's at it. He'll be back. Him.
What?
He'll be back.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, definitely. He'll win again as well. Talking about it, having a pint after the round before with Bri. You know, like Tiger will come back. He's gonna come back.
All right. Calm down.
You heard it here first. Exclusive. Tiger's coming back, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly believe that he will. But as we talk about all the time, what do we say wins your tournament? Putting.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And it's not just hole and putts, but it's the belief that you're a good putter and whatever works. And Finau was chopping and changing. He's changed putters. He's went left and low. And then on his third round this week, he hit loads of good shots in a row and missed them all with his left hand row. And he changed it to conventional. And then closed it out. And then he ended up going on a run, didn't he, on that Sunday of like birdie, and the two of them were kickings,
yeah,
and the other two were nice putts, and you just it kicks you on when you get that feeling. The tournament, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, putting is so important. Like you say, we speak about it every single week, and I always say the best putters are the ones who make it simple, the conventional putters. All right, changing it up might work for some people.
Well, I've just been reading that book, actually. It talks about the explicit mind and the inexplicit mind, and if you can do something like driving somewhere without actually knowing what you've actually done with the clutches and brakes, that's in your implicit mind, so you're just doing it subconsciously.
Yeah,
so
on the fly,
you can do that, you're still going to have thinking about something else so we can grain your thought.
And
process.
This is what I always say about conventional putting.
Yeah, but then if you've just got, it's like you said, you read the green, you look, you put the line, it's the same process, but
less is more with putting. I get that there's a skill to reading greens. It's like visually, and I know people use the green books to make it a bit more of a mathematical equation when you're putting, but that you take as much noise out of putting as you can. Like for me, for example, and I'm not a professional golfer and I don't have to hold putts under pressure. I know I'm a good putter and my putting process is simple.
But either way, whatever one you do more, it's going to work better, isn't it?
From an outside looking in,
yeah.
Simplifying putting would make it much easier.
Of course it does, yeah. Well, I bet you John Ryan wished he could simplify golf for them last like four holes when he was... What happened with his chipping like the last 2 days, like even on the Saturday?
He was in cruise control, wasn't he, on the Monday?
And like, but even on the Saturday, like he was in cruise control, drove it like next to the green, bladed the chip into the water, like on the Monday, in cruise control again, puts a chip, like Smith chips up, I think, was it Van Ruin in the group with them?
Yeah,
chipped up, both stone dead, easy chips, just tapping birdies, and Ram like blades is like 30 foot away.
It's not like him because he's normally solid from there, so it's difficult to understand what's happened there. Maybe it was a lapse of concentration or a bad lie or just a bad stroke. You don't know.
He went 2 over for the last 4 holes, John Ram.
Well, and he was in cruise control and he was 4 under for the first 6. I mean, for the first 12, wasn't he? So, or 12 or 13, whatever it was, but bogey free. And then again, it just goes back to what we say all the time, it's the pressure.
Yeah.
As soon as the pressure comes on, but you're surprised with John Ram, aren't you? Because you see he's won on tour already this season. He's a major champion this year. So it's like you don't... And he's been countless leads where he's had to withdraw because of...
Yeah, that was a joke.
Yeah, the COVID situation and things. So you just automatically expect John Ram to win when he's in that position. No, you course, don't expect anything to happen. So it was...
It's back to the us being spoiled by Tiger, like closing it out, like... We were spoiled, basically, weren't we? By like, someone's going to get that lead. They're the world number one. No one's beaten them, so no one's better than them, so they're not going to win.
Yeah.
But that's not ingrained in anyone anymore.
No.
That's like the best player in the world there, and I'm coming to get you.
Yeah, exactly, But it makes for an unbelievable tournament, and that's why, just going back to Tony Finau then, we spoke about the days since he last won. There's been 126 different winners.
That's mad.
In that 1,975 days.
That is mad.
So, I mean, I don't know the statistics, but I reckon if we got a 5-year span between when Tiger was dominating, say we went from, I don't know, 99 to 2004, Let's get it. Yeah, let's fact check it. But from 99 to 04, in that same period, how many different winners were there?
Right, yeah.
Be interesting to see, because we talk about it all the time. Like, there's nobody's a three-time winner on tour.
Target used to pick his tournament, only play about 15 times a year, didn't he? And win eight of them.
I know. But I just mean in general terms, like, if Tiger weren't winning, there was somebody else winning, you wouldn't have, like, so many. Like, how many different winners have we had on tour this season? Nobody's won more than twice on tour. We've got like 5 or 6 2-time winners on tour, but we've got no 3-time winners. We've got winners over the age of 40 winning a number of different ones. Garcia, Martin Laird, Stuart Sink. You know, it's the way the game
Mickelson.
Is. Yeah, Mickelson, yeah, winning one of the biggest ones, yeah. So
do you know what? We actually got a message off Patrick Cantley saying, "Hey guys, if knowing you're talking about 2-time winners on tour this year, can you please stop leaving my name out?"
We do it every time.
Sus Patrick. Sus mate.
It's a fact check, that message.
We go,
definitely.
Bryson, Harris English, Cockroach. Yeah, and that's it. Yeah.
Cantley, sorry. Mate, talking about putting, just one little debating topic before we move on from the Northern Trust. Hovland snapped his putter, got really frustrated, off to a terrible start. I think he was he 6 over for 9 or something along those lines, just absolutely blew it.
But
he had a terrible time, but he decided to put with his wedge. Now, in the past,
but he only done it because he whacked his putter on his bag.
So he's broke his putter, but in the past, when players have done that in the past, some people go with the wood and some people go with the wedge. Just asking you, like, what, personally? Yeah, just what do you think is best? Because I'll go first if you want. I think it's wedge all day, just because it's a similar size and you've got the blades of the wedge. It's flat, similar to the
putter. I like the wood.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Just a little bit more ping on it, a little bit more roll.
The ping, the sound? Yeah. You're doing that just to disagree with me?
No, because the last time I've bellied the wedge, it didn't go very well. And the last time I used the wood, I nearly held it, so... I'm just going off that. But it's funny, a good point made by Liam. He was like, he texted me saying, like, you'd have more respect for Hovland if he just threw his putter in the lake. At least he knows what he's doing then, getting rid of it.
Yeah.
The bend in it, in anger, and then he can't use it, but he's still got it. It's like, he's like, lash it in the lake, you know what you're doing then, don't you?
Get rid of it, you can't come back.
Like Rory McIlroy. Rory threw a 3-wood up onto the New Jersey Turnpike, didn't he?
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah. He said, well, I didn't see it, like, but I just seen on Instagram, and he put like a quote out saying, "I threw it from the 9th. I threw a 3-wood onto the New Jersey Turnpike. So if anyone's after a 3-wood, there's one there."
Be right over there, wouldn't you?
Right over there.
Obviously, we'll come on to the BMW later. He's got to be careful. Him 28th at the minute.
Rory.
Got to be very careful, otherwise he could miss out on the Tour Champs, 2-time winner.
No.
So we'll. Again. Interesting one, because it finished on the Monday. Whether that was an advantage or a disadvantage to some players, it's obviously worked out well for Tony Finau, who's ended that duct of...
Well, like, as we said, though, he's put it into his own hands. Like, he didn't have it all easy, did he? Like, he had to get up and down on 18, little six-footer on 18 to win, and it's credit to the man.
Yeah, credit to the man, definitely. You know what I mean? Be interesting to see where he comes to now, but like we spoke about, didn't we? Those 2,000 points now make him
first
in the FedEx. Yeah,
joke that. From 20,
get it off your chest.
From 23rd to first.
Yeah,
Morikawa down to 6th.
Yeah,
I hate it.
I know you do. Yeah, I don't think it's set up so much for those guys, because obviously Tony Finau's had a good season, loads of seconds, so he doesn't look out of place at first. If I'm honest,
no.
I think it's more for your players who...
I feel for Morikawa.
Got dropped down to 6th.
Yeah.
But he has a bad tournament.
Yeah, but he's won a WGC and he's won a major.
Yeah.
And Finau's won nothing, won that event, and then he's all of a sudden past him. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I've just... Obviously, Finau's racked up other points because he's got, like... What's he got, 3,000 and...
Well, exactly, that's what I'm saying. It's not as though, like, you look at Finau and you think, how is he first? That just looks so... That's so strange.
Yeah.
Joe, it's like, he's won on the PGA Tour this season. He's had a number of countless top 10s, top 3s, top 2s. He's been consistent all season, albeit these last couple of months his form's dipped.
I think there should be a lot more emphasis on the win. Like, the way the prize money is... The prize money you get for winning, you get like double second place, don't you?
Yeah.
So, like Seamus Power, Martin Laird, and Joel Damian have all finished like 70. Oh no, what is it? The top 125 now.
No, top 70. So they'll be outside the 70.
70 and 76. So there's them three are in there. I can't remember the exact numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've all won this year. So Power won the Barbasol, only got 300 FedEx points for that. Laird won the Shriners Children. He got 500 points, which is like a standard thing.
Yeah.
And then Damian won the Corrales Punta Cana, which only got 300. So I just think that if them two were 500 point events, like normal, like a win, they'd be well through. So I just feel a little bit harsh on them too.
Right, no, you think for everybody who wins, there should be like 1,000 points, and then second place
I think
is the normal.
Yeah, I think a win should give you, like...
Just every winner should pretty much
be in the top.
At least the BMW.
Yeah.
At least the top 70.
If you've won, you should definitely be in the top 70. Do you know what I mean?
It's interesting because you look at the ones who moved into the top 70 this week. There's five of them in total. Alex Norren, not won on tour this season. Tom Hoagie, not won on tour this season. Harald Varner III, not won on tour this season. Keith Mitchell, not won on tour this season. Harry Higgs, not won on tour. The only person that moved up into the top 70 that's had a win this season is Erik van Rooyen, and he only just made it in.
That doesn't matter. And his would have only been worth 300 as well.
So no, it makes sense. Matty Wolf, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton, Martin Laird all dropped out.
Yeah.
And Martin Laird, like you've just said there, he's a winner on tour this season, so should.
I'm not saying just because you've won, because obviously you win. I just think a win should give you a lot more points, So coming second in this event gets you like nearly more points than winning.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's I just don't feel it's fair.
Yeah.
So if it's Keith Mitchell, I know he shot like 65 and he birdied the last to get him, or 64 to get himself in.
Yeah.
And he cemented his place right in there because he jumped up the points list. But he's jumping up by finishing like top 20 in a event when really there's someone like that Power and Laird out there and he've won.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
No, I like the point system in the basis that it gives people who are 125th, 124th, whatever, 123rd, the opportunity to win the whole thing. So it gives you the opportunity. If you find form, like Alex Norren now has gone from like 90 something to into the top 70 now. So if he wins this week, he'll go into the top 30, and then obviously he'll start so many under par. And then he's got that opportunity then to go and win the tour championship because he's had a good playoff.
Again, I hate that. I don't like it either. Like, no. I hate the way the playoff in the championship and in the football where you can finish seventh and you can get through past someone who finished third.
Yeah.
It's like, nah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
All
you have to do is work for seventh and then play for the playoffs, which is what these can do.
Yeah.
Which is like a playoff. I don't like it.
But that's what it's about, though. It's like a playoff, isn't it? You work all season to get to the 1-2-5 to keep your card, and once you've kept your card, you get the opportunity to win that $15 million bonus.
Yeah.
So that's the way. But I understand the flip side. I do get what you're saying in the sense that if you're a winner on tour and you've maybe had a consistent season, but you're not winning the big events, so your points are not really justifying your performance for the season.
Exactly, yeah.
When it comes to this, okay, you're in the 1-2-5, you'd have a bad tournament to the Northern Trust and you miss a cut and you're gone, you're bombed.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, there's two ways it could definitely be improved.
But obviously,
it depends what end
you're on as well, don't it? Because if you shoot all the birdies and you get in, you're like, this point system's amazing. But if you do it the other way, it's like, fuck that. Yeah. But 15 million first prize, what would you spend that on if you could?
15 million? No. Where do we start? Don't know.
No, just seeing a belter by Cam Smith saying, I'm pretty set for life. I don't know what I'd do with it. To be honest, I'm pretty sorted. Probably just buy some new fishing gear.
Well, I'm definitely not set for life, so that's probably why I couldn't think of anything. Probably buy a driver that can't miss fairways. Can you find one of them? I'd pay 15 mil for that, no problem. Let's move on then. D&D Real Czech Masters.
Yeah. Another, well, an American taking the crown.
Another, very impressive, I followed him for a few years at the Scottish Open and I was very impressed by his game, to be honest.
Yeah, it was coming money because he played well in the Irish as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's been a man on form these past, it's only his 59th start on the European Tour as well. looking at the tournament, and another American who was chasing him, Croker.
Sean
he had
Croker, yeah.
Four birdies in a row, 9, 10, 11, 12, and took the lead and put a bit of pressure, but he came through in the end via him, albeit with his playing partners, making a double bogey on the last.
Well, as well, I was talking about when Brooks Koepka come over and went through the challenge and through the European Tour. I feel like a few Americans are doing that now, because if you look at this, Veerman, Croker, and then Paul Peterson make up the three out of the top four. So they must be thinking like the standard on the Corn Ferry must be like either too much. Well, they feel like the European Tour is a little bit easier.
I think we spoke about this, didn't we? The college kids now, they're coming straight out of college and going on the Corn Ferry Tour. And it's just, the competition is just so fierce, because they're playing NCAA Division 1 against the best amateurs in the world. They're playing the best amateur tournaments in the world. They're being treated like professionals while they're in college anyway. And then they're going straight to the Corn Ferry Tour. And these guys who are grinding it out on the Corn Ferry for 2-3 seasons, thinking this is my season, and another crop of kids coming. It's only the top 25 who are getting through, and there's thousands trying it.
I seen it was top 25, but then I seen another, the tour finals or something going off. Did you see Aaron Wright make a double bogey?
Yeah.
Made a double bogey on the last. He finished second, Lucas Herbert. And that all got tour cards through that way. I don't know what that was. I couldn't keep a
I'm not
eye on
sure
that.
What the tour finals is, no. Yeah. We'll have a look into that. I'm not sure what the tour, but I've heard a few talk about it, because I know Harris English, he got his card back through the Corn Ferry Tour Finals.
Yeah, well, that must have been that, because that was the order of merit, and this must be the Tour Finals, because Aaron Rye only had to get up and down to win it, and he chipped it off thing and three-putted.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, nightmare.
Like, he was lit. It was like a 10-foot chip. It was down the slope, but he tried to flop it, played it a little bit.
So there's just one card, is there, for that?
No, there was a few got the cards.
Maybe top 25 and then another 5 on top of that, so Lucas, 30 get in.
I know Lucas Herbert, Aaron Rye, and somebody else, which I've since forgotten, all got cards.
Did they, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
You'd associate Aaron Rye and Lucas Herbert with the European Tour, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there was obviously
flipping it.
More than one way to skin a cat.
There is, yeah. Well, we've got, like, you know, you've got lads on the Euro Pro Tour who can go and play in Q School over in, so maybe it's the equivalent.
No, definitely, yeah.
And then you can get onto the European Tour through Q School that way, so maybe it's that equivalent, yeah. But we'll definitely fact check it, yeah. But good event.
No, good event, yeah.
Enjoyed it.
To be honest, I hardly watched any of it, to be honest, but it was, from what I've seen, seemed like a great event.
Yeah, congratulations to Johannes Veerman on your maiden winning. We'll keep an eye and see, because only 59 starts getting your first win on the main tour in Europe. You know, see how he gets on. I know he played the Open this year as well, didn't he? Not sure if he made the cup, but talking about the Open.
Yeah, the Women's British.
Mm.
Anna Norquist, very well played.
Yeah, smashed it, didn't she? Smashed it.
Well, she was. They were neck and neck. Aidan Corrent Marsden going down the last, and a playing partner. You have to watch a playing partner make a double bogey to fall way back. But she made a par down the last to claim a third major title.
That number three for her, isn't it? Yeah. She's been there, done it before.
She won the PGA Champs in 2009 and the Evian Championship in 2017.
So it's some time difference. She's been around for a while. The name has been about, hasn't it?
But
from her first one to now, that's what? 12 years?
Yeah. She come one shot ahead of fellow Swede Magdalene Sagström.
Yeah.
And there was three tied on 11 under. Georgia Hall from England.
Yeah.
Put up a good challenge, which is a past winner of this event.
She does. I think she's in her past four Opens. She's finished first, third, and obviously now second. So.
Sick.
She knows what she's doing around the links, doesn't she?
And Lizette Salas. But I just want to talk about Louise Duncan.
Never heard of her.
Did you see her now? A Scottish, 21-year-old Scottish girl.
No.
She was leading after round. She was 7-under leading after round 3.
Was she?
Amateur.
Oh, she was leading going into the final round.
She was 7-under. Well, might have been after the second round, but she was leading. She was leading anyway. Going in.
To watch.
Yeah. And she ended up finishing tied for 7th anyway, but she would have picked up a nice 83,000 for that, but she couldn't. But she gets into like the Augusta event, she gets into the Open next year. She's got a bright future ahead of her, a good category.
And a Scottish girl as well, yeah. Scottish golf. So, and obviously Gemma's do. I know Gemma missed the cut, driver in the end, but another top Scottish golfer who's playing playing over on the Symetra and LPGA Tour at the minute. So, Scottish golf booming both for women and men at the minute.
Yeah, you made a statement last week. Really.
And while we're talking about Scottish golfers, it's also worth mentioning Ewan as well. Just missed out in a playoff again.
I don't know.
He's up to fourth now in the
Challenge Tour
race to Mallorca. Yeah. So,
well, it's worth talking about loads of the podcast guests. Actually, remember you texted me on the was it on Thursday or Friday saying, "Well, look at this. Joe Brooks was leading the Euro Pro we had on.
Yeah.
Richie Mansell was leading the European Tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ewan Ferguson was leading the Challenge Tour.
I know.
We were like, wow. Gaunty was flying on the clutch.
Gaunty
like,
finished second.
Every tier of English golf.
And Kinnear done well, didn't he? Did Kinnear finish top five or something last week when he's got back off an injury, isn't he? So
he was. Yeah, he had COVID.
Was it COVID? Yeah. Was it? Yeah. So he's back playing and competing again now. So they're all doing well, aren't they? Plenty more guests to come as well. We've got a few lined up, haven't we? And a few to release. You can catch Joe Brooks this week.
Definitely.
We'll get that released.
Yeah, well, that brings us nicely on to that time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bogey bust, the birdie bogey bust, birdie bogey bust.
Yes, I got to say that again. What's your birdie?
The Scotland trip, just as a whole. Yeah. So, obviously, I built it up last week, didn't I? Oldies versus youngies. So, just setting the scene. Friday, we played the Jubilee. Saturday we played the Castle Course and Sunday we played Fairmont where they had the European Tour event last week. Grant Forrest shot 10 under. How are we shooting 10 under around here?
Yeah, heavy.
Ridiculous golf. No, yeah. Way. Second holes, like 475 yard par 4 into wind. But obviously last season was the first time that we went, we played a few of
the inaugural.
The inaugural, yeah. We love that word on the show.
You do.
And we won oldies, so there's 16 of us that go, 8 of us who represent the oldies, like the older guys, and then 8 that represent the youngies, the younger lads. So quite competitive, loads of banter, as you do. We done a draw for the first round before we went, so I knew I was playing first round. So obviously Danny Jones and Paul Howard, me and Gary were drawn against. Gary plays off 4, I was off 6.
What's Danny in?
Danny's youngies.
Danny's older than you, though, isn't he?
No, I'm two months younger. I know he looks about 50, but...
I always thought Danny was older for some reason.
No, he's March, I'm January, so there's just 2 months in it, yeah. So that's the way it worked out. There was 3 of us. There was Dale as well, who's 32, and I'm the oldest youngie. So because of the way the split was, there's 9 youngies and 7 oldies, really, but... I've took one for the team and went on the much better team anyway. Bant as well better.
Look at you getting up the ranks there.
So yeah, I've, obviously Paul Howard plus 3, we've had him on the podcast, people know who he is, ex-Challenge Tour winner, unbelievable golf. First day 7 under par through the first 6 holes. He was,
I don't even want to hear about it.
He started par,
pisses me off,
par, birdie, eagle, birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie.
What the fuck?
It was ridiculous. Honest to God, it was so good to watch. I mean, he made par on the... He made a birdie on the first, sorry, and I made a par, but I had a shot, so we halved that all, and then he just went on and won the rest. He went birdie, par, sorry, not par, birdie. Par the second. Honestly, I'd never seen, like, physically playing with somebody, never seen anything like it.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, not one shot went offline.
No,
it was ridiculous. We ended up clawing it back a bit. He shot 65 in the end, 7 under for the round. So obviously for the rest of it was level par or 1 under or 1 over, whatever it was, for the rest of the round. And we ended up getting B4 and 3. So saved ourselves. We played all right, to be fair, me and Gary. And then in the club later, you get drawn again. And I get Paul Howard again.
No way.
He shoots 69 that day. And then in the singles... I get drawn against Paul Howard in the singles.
Oh my word.
And he pumps me 6 and 5 around the Fairmont course, and he shot 69 again. So he was, for the 4 rounds of golf, because they played a practice round before we got there, because I went up on the Friday, he was 15 under gross.
It just pisses me off that. That's changed to me bust that now.
Why? Because he never carried on.
What's he not doing out
He should be on tour. I know. Look, I know. He's obviously, I don't know what the high level's like, but I was so impressed by it. Like, I'm not going to lie. It was phenomenal to watch it. Obviously, it was shite, the fact that I was on the losing end of it every time, and it was demoralising at times, but he was four up through four on the Fairmont on the final day, and I was fucking absolutely bricking it for the 10-8. I even said to him, I half the fifth hole, which was a par three, and I said to him after it, I said, honestly, Paul, I'm so happy you can't 10-8 me, you know. I don't think I could ever get over it. But the trip in general, honestly, like, the lads are superb. We're going to do it every year now. Result-wise, Youngies battered us. There wasn't a breath of wind for the 3 days, even though it was raining on the Saturday. So you've got lads there off, like, Paul off plus three, Harry Begg off plus two, Danny plus one. You've got lads, like, they're all low single figures who, like, can fire at pins, and that's what they were doing. So, smashed it. Boss event. The Youngies won, so it's 1-1 now. Oldies won the first one, Youngies won the second one. Plenty of drinking, plenty of golf, and that's my birdie for the week. Just a great, all round, a great trip.
Yeah, sounds boss.
What's your birdie for the week?
Just Finau getting his W after 5 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, just, he's a nice, he's, like, you seen Ian Finnis put up a story about him offering him a lift
home. I didn't
home,
see it, no. No,
didn't you see
no,
it?
No, what was that?
So Finno was like, in 2017, he met Finau, and he was like, I need a lift home. And he was like, you can jump in with us. And he drove him to it, and he said he was like stinking in his golf clothes, like drove him to like a restaurant and introduced him to all his friends, sat him down, like realised he was hungry and like got him extra food and all that, like, and said like sorted it out. And he's like, no one on the PGA Tour would do this, like, this is how nice like this guy is, do you know what I mean? He's one of the good guys.
He does come across like a proper nice
and
guy,
everyone says it about him, do you know what I mean? So it's like, as much as like we made a meme with a skeleton saying waiting for Finau to win, and that, like, it was all banter.
It was,
I am buzzing for him, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, from one good guy to one not so good guy, for my bogey, news has just broke that Bryson DeChambeau has been granted permission to compete in the long drive competition this season. Now, his decision to get into that is because he wants that. It's great for the game, and he's going to grow the game. And we all know, we've seen the videos, he's close to Kyle Berkshire, isn't he? He's the champion.
Yeah.
They do a lot of training. And I've always said in the past that I think it's good for the game that he's bombing gouge, and it adds a different element to the game. And what we've seen him do with the Arnold Palmer was amazing, trying to drive par fives.
Yeah,
the fans getting behind it. I think the YouTube video that the PGA Tour put on has got like millions of views, so people are interested in that type of stuff. It's not so much that he's competing in that, it's the time frame around when he's competing. Now, the Ryder Cup this year is the 24th to the 26th of September.
Yeah.
He's already got his position because of his where he is in the rankings. The long drive competition is the day after the Ryder Cup finishes, on the 27th of September, and I just think it's all wrong. It is an opportunity to grow the game. I get that. Obviously, he's a well-known figure, and if he's getting into the long drive competition, it drives volume towards that people mightn't have known about. I understand that. But I just think the timing's wrong. So is training and preparation building up to the Ryder Cup, which is a historical event?
What might be all about the
it's
long
It's going
drive
to be, isn't it?
And, yeah.
It's going to be, isn't it? I mean, he's first in driving
might
distance.
Might help him, though, around the, like, take it, it's a US Open course, isn't it?
So you're thinking that training that way might...
I don't know, it might, like it's a...
Yeah, there's that point. I just don't... No, I just...
I don't think he takes any other approach, does he, really, so...
But it's different, though. Like, his driving average for this season, 321 yards, he's top. We know that he's the number one driving distance guy on tour. But the long drive competitors, they hit it over 400 yards, and the reason
with
they do that...
shafts and all that.
Well, exactly. So his preparation is going to be with longer shafts that he can't use in the Ryder Cup. He's got to practice with those different types of clubs, hasn't he?
I think he's more just like... Do you know the way, like, you get Mike Tyson coming in as like a special guest referee in the WWE? Like, I don't think like he's out there to win it, do you know what I mean? He's just coming in...
Not a chat. Listen, Bryson, he is... sounds like the most competitive person in the world.
It's just to draw attention to it.
Do you having that?
I don't know. That's my statement anyway.
No way. Looking at longest drives on the PGA Tour this season, because it got me thinking. 425 yards is the longest drive on the PGA Tour this season. Do you know who hit it?
I want to say Cameron Champ.
No, Cameron Champ hit one 424 yards. He got pipped by a yard. See if you can get him. I'll give you one more guess. He's English.
English?
He's English.
Hatton?
Lee Westwood.
What?
Yeah.
That's broke. Someone's broke. The check one's broke.
Bryson's fifth in those rankings, 414 yards.
No way.
But
when did Westwood do that, like?
I don't know. But he's number one. Doesn't need fact checking. I've checked it. But yeah, that's me bogey. I'm all for him. I just think the timing's wrong.
Yeah, I think it's just for show.
Okay, but it's just something else to think about when he's in the Ryder Cup. It's great for the Europeans because hopefully his mind will be elsewhere. And you know, but how's it going to look if he turns up, if he has a terrible Ryder Cup and then
fucks next?
Well, yeah, they've been say USA get humiliated on home soil. And then he turns up the next day and then he's all happy and laughing with Kyle Birch. And he's like, shows he doesn't give a fuck about it.
Yeah, but then on the other side, what if he wins?
Yeah, well, there is that, yeah. I hope he doesn't win, but I want to be right.
Well, speaking of winning, that'll bring nicely onto my bogey because it's no one closing out leads.
Yeah.
The last 14 since Phil Mickelson at the PGA.
Is that how long it's been, yeah?
14 different win, like different people have won after not having the 54-hole lead.
I mean, I know, obviously, we've had a lot of playoffs, haven't we?
A lot of playoffs,
yeah. But I didn't realise it was that long and that many, yeah. No, because Ram was leading, wasn't he, going into it, and he's obviously not being able to close it out. Interesting.
Yeah, that's it. Just, obviously, as you say, we're spoilt with the Woods era, but I just think being ahead and just, like, crumbling or choking or just not playing your best on the Sunday, whatever you want to call it, is me bogey.
Yeah, no, but, definitely.
What's your bust?
News has just broke. Patrick Reed, he's got bilateral interstitial pneumonia. I think I've pronounced that right. Which is an infection in both lungs. He was only going to get a checkup on his ankle, and they found this pneumonia. So he sent a message out saying that, you know, he's in recovery and whatever, but it means that he can't play this week at the BMW Championship, which in turn means that he can't play the Tour Championship, which in turn means that he won't have an opportunity to be part of the Ryder Cup. If he's fit to play, then the only way he's going to be able to attend is if he gets a captain's pick.
Yeah, and he's pulled out. He was meant to play Wentworth as well, because I've seen he's pulled out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's no tournaments now that he's going to be playing in. So he's more than like, they're not going to, as sad as it is, and it'd be a good story, obviously they call him Captain America, don't they, Patrick Reed, because he's as much as he gets some bad press, the Ryder Cup, he does get under the skin of the Europeans, doesn't he? Similar to how Poulter does the other way. I just think it's, I mean, does he deserve a selection? What do you think? He'll be inactive, won't he? And
I don't know,
for so long.
Not really, if he's not playing now. Surely if he could earn a spot and play his way into it, then yeah, but I don't think...
Six spots
doesn't
and
get
six...
it on merit, does he? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. You get six on merit and six selections they get, so... Does his performance up until this point, if he's saying he's fit to play in the Ryder Cup and what he's done in the past?
Throw him a little vice captain role or something if you want him around the dressing room.
No sympathy for Kev with Reed still.
No, definitely not.
But that was me bust, yeah. Obviously, I know he doesn't get in the press for good things, mainly for what he does on the course, but we do wish him well.
Yeah.
Definitely. What's your bust?
Just Cam Smith knocking that shot OB on the first playoff hole. It's like, it was just game over, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Excitement gone. As much as that led to me birdie being female winning, it's like, I wanted, you like to see a bit more fire, a little bit more like someone actually winning it. Right, he lost it, didn't he?
You busted Smith losing it rather than female winning
just,
it.
Just admitting it, just, he didn't even lose it. Like, it was just the most, it was OB.
Anti-climax.
He knocked it off the planet.
Anti-climax, yeah. Yeah, he'd done that a couple of times, didn't he?
A few times, yeah.
Yeah. Talking about knocking it off the planet there, just before we move on to the Ryder Cup, did you see Jordan Spieth?
What, that birdie? Eagle, the eagle?
Oh, the eagle, sorry, you made,
yeah. Oh, my God, that was one of yours. I meant to text you about that.
Knocked it off the planet onto the fairway. Three wood nearly goes in the water and chips it in. Didn't even see the hole.
And then he eagled the next as well.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It was a mad fact that he made back-to-back, he was the only person who made back-to-back Eagles.
And back-to-back trebles or worse, yeah.
In one event, same week.
Yeah, same
but
event,
that,
yeah.
That day as well with Smith's pre-fad back-to-back Eagles, loads of people had two Eagles in the round as well. You know, it was like Eagle Fest.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Stanley and Marek Howard or someone all had like two Eagles in the
round. What day was that?
That was the Friday.
Oh, because... Yeah, that's when Paul had two Eagles at the Jubilee.
I'm going to have to get a little fucking Paul Howard monitor.
Can we do it? Welcome to the Paul Howard Golf Show. No, we did.
Funny, next week you joined here by Kevin. You joined here by Mark and Paul.
Yeah, he did. He made two Eagles in 4 holes, or 2 Eagles and 3 holes on the Friday. So it must just have been that day. I mean, yeah. I didn't make any Eagles whatsoever. Eagle day, yeah. But mentioned there about Bryson, the Ryder Cup, moves us nicely on to the 2006 Ryder Cup, an emotional one.
It's saying this is the 36th Ryder Cup, but it's just, how many, it feels like we've been reviewing Ryder Cup since I was born.
I reckon we've done 136 Ryder Cups.
2006, yeah, Ireland.
Yeah, the K-Club. Yeah. Woosnam, captain for the Europeans, and Tom Lehman, captain for the US team. We have 4 rookies. I think, obviously, the European team are well cemented in the team now, aren't they? You know, they've got a strong team outfit there. And then the USA team, they just seem a bit out of sorts, don't they? Well, even though the lads coming in, they're like Zach Johnson and players like that, and, you know, top players, I just think the Europeans have got a stronghold now, haven't they?
Well, it seems like as well, they've took a little bit of a... what you call it, where you've brought in experience over who's the best players, because they brought in Carlson, who's 37, and Stenson, who's 30. Whereas like when they were bringing rookies in, they were like 19-year-old Garcia and like 18-year-old Faldo. Do you know what I mean, like years back? So I think they've started sort of learned that
experience is key.
Actually wins you these events.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's obviously they won by 18.5
The biggest ever margin win, broke the record, and what a day it was. The Europeans took the lead 5-3 after day one, but it doesn't tell the whole story. 7 of the 8 matches on the first day went to the 18th hole. Oof. And the Americans threw away quite a few leads, so obviously that must have dwelled on them going into the second day, because that was the exact same result, 5-3. So they took a 10-6 lead, and then Europe went on to win 8.5 points out of a possible 12. But the biggest moment in the Ryder Cup and the biggest point was Darren Clark. He won a singles match against Zach Johnson. He was selected as a captain's pick, and it was only 2 months earlier. He'd lost his wife to cancer.
Yeah.
The emotional scenes when they'd all finished. And what was good about it, and I know we go back to Ryder Cups in the past where there was animosity and stories of cheating and people spitting at people, and you know we spoke about the different things. What was good about this is obviously golf came second to that. The Americans, even though they'd just been on the back of the biggest ever defeat, they were there to console them and to, you know, give them a hug. And I just thought that was great to see.
No, definitely, yeah. It's just, again, another whitewash. And we need the same again this year.
We do. We've built it up, haven't we?
We've built it up, and we're in sort of Europe, sort of dominant, sort of era now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, the Europeans are well on top, yeah, exactly. So we will, 2008, it's getting closer, isn't it?
It is.
Got a couple more weeks before the actual Ryder Cup comes. By the time we do the pod next week, we'll be in September. So it's
Ryder Cup month.
And then might as well give a mention to the Solheim Cup as well. A couple of the just heard today, Mel Reid, Charlie Hull and Georgia Hall have all made the European team for the Solheim Cup. And I know the American team selected as well, isn't it?
I think they're both fully cemented now, yeah.
Ah,
the Curtis Cup's this week, isn't it? And I think...
Yeah, the Curtis Cup's now, yeah.
Conway.
Yeah.
And the...
Sophie Walker's there doing the commentary there.
Oh, is she down there?
She's down there doing the commentary, yeah.
And Solheim is in next week, is it? Or a week after? And then the Ryder Cup's it's all very...
2 weeks after, yeah.
Very, very, very soon.
Yeah, because there's plenty of golf to look forward to, and I say we'll come on to what's to come this week now anyway. But you're right, you've got the Solheim Cup, and then you've also got the BMW you spoke about.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the FedEx Tour Championships.
We need to get down to that.
We'll sort it out then.
What do you mean?
Let's get tickets.
Sad.
I'm happy to go.
you can actually get a taxi straight in. You know, we've done it last year. Just she got in a taxi, said, take us there. He actually drove us up. We got out. We were on the 17th fairway. We were like, what the fuck? Where's all the security? Where's all the car? Like, where'd you pay? He's like, oh, I'll just pay at the bottom there. I said, oh, yeah, won't be a second.
On a scouser,
yeah.
Fucking hell.
Won't be a minute.
The Omega European Masters.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most historic events on the European Tour.
Definitely.
Last season, because of COVID, was the first year that it hadn't been played on the European Tour in a season since inception of the European Tour in
1972. Ah, right.
Yeah.
Crans City Golf Club.
Yeah, well, the Crans Mountains, Crans Montana is the mountains, like, when you're going down the fairway and you've got the Swiss Alps in the background, honestly, it's just
spectacular,
like,
isn't it?
It's unbelievable, yeah. It actually
gets better than snow, you know, and becomes a ski resort in the winter, though, the course.
Oh, does it, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It is quite high, isn't it? It's like, it's high up in
it's up there, it goes into like 10, 15 foot of snow.
Does it, yeah? Yeah. Brilliant. I love watching this one, to be honest.
What? Brilliant.
Brilliant for the snowers.
Yeah. Snowers?
Skiers. Have we hit an hour? Let's have a look. We've hit an hour, haven't we? There we go. Past champions, plenty of names there. Seve's won it. Thomas Bjorn, Faldo, Els.
Bjorn shot his lowest ever career round here, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Smashed it out the park, yeah. Garcia and Willett. Sebastian Soderberg, who was leading at one point last week in the D&D.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he won after a five-man playoff last year, in 2019. Yeah, which included Rory.
Was Rory in that, yeah? Actually, I do remember Rory playing in this, yeah. I do.
And he birdied the first playoff hold
and took the
crown. Took the crown, yeah.
Brilliant, yeah. So he's bringing a bit of form into the event, so be interesting to see if he can hold on to that.
Definitely, yeah.
Hold on to the title, yeah. It's not a very long course.
No.
And it is high up, set par 76,848, so you can expect all-out attack on the course, really, can't you?
Well, you've got a couple of... big boys as well stepping up. Molinari, Stenson, Keimer, Willett. Make for some fireworks. I mean, you've also got...
Willett past champion as well.
Yeah, you've got Miguel Angel Jimenez dropping down from the seniors to and dropping down from his caddy duties as well, by the way. Because he was caddying for his son last week.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Playing as well. But if... Obviously, this year, how many playoffs have we had?
Oh, my God.
And it's 6 of the last 7 years in this tournament have been a playoff. So
what are the odds in the bookies for that?
You know what I mean? So, like, it's probably going to be a playoff this year.
I did back playoffs everywhere, because the golf's just so competitive, isn't it? They're just all out there. Like, if one player can shoot 7 under, and that's what the course is open to, every week you're getting about 7 or 8 players shooting either 6 or 5 and just being in and around it. You never ever see after day one somebody shoot like 8 under and the rest of the field like 3 under.
No.
It's just too compact and too,
like, if there's a 9 under, there's an 8 and a 7 and a 6 and a 5.
Yeah, always, yeah. Always.
It's
like,
mad, isn't it?
Yeah, just the talent that's out there now.
But, like, obviously we're releasing this pod late, aren't we? So this is literally starting, like, in the morning, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. We've obviously got the picks and selections and all that out on time, but, you know, we've had to release this one late, but hopefully people still enjoy it.
Yeah, I think people enjoy it just for us to have a little buzz, don't they? But also the main event is the BMW Championships.
It is, yeah, part 2, top 70.
At the Caves Valley Golf Club, a known spot for the PGA Tour.
No, it's his first ever professional tournament on the men's PGA Tour. Yeah, it's had a women's professional event, and it's had a lot of NCAA and a few. He's had the mid amateur championship as well, so it has had some, but it's only been going since 1991. And in preparation for the BMW champs, there's been 7 new tee grounds that have been put in place to increase the yardage by about 250. 3 new bunkers have been installed, and all existing bunkers have been restored. Some fairways have been reshaped, and new colours around the greens were added, and then the nines have switched.
I read that, yeah. I don't know why is that?
It must just make the closing fit, like, I don't know whether 7, 8 and 9 are more difficult, so that if they become 16, 17 and 18, it makes for a better finish.
I read as well that the 13th, which would be the
5th,
whatever it is, it's got like an amphitheatre sort of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if that's if that's any reason. But they've got six par fours measuring between 450 and 500 yards.
Yeah.
So they've obviously added a good bit of length. But well, all these reservations were only done last year.
Yeah. So it's, it, it is, it's lit, even though it's got history of, I think it's it hosted the 2002 US Seniors Open.
Yeah.
It's 7,410 yards, par 71. So this is obviously, even back in 2017 when they had the Seniors Players Championship there and all the events before that.
They, what no, have you got this, that down as there?
7,410 yards.
Par 71.
Par 71.
I've got it as a 7,552 yard, par 72.
We'll go with yours. It's definitely one of them.
Just me thinking there, back to, oh, we forgot to celebrate our year birthday.
Oh, congratulations.
That was a high five. But the reason I'm saying it, bringing it up now, is because I just thought of a pale moment. Remember when I brought the postcode as the added?
Yeah. Maybe that's, what have you got it as, 7,552
yards?
That's the extra 250 that's not being accounted for.
Ah, right.
7,410 plus 250 is 7,660. What did you say?
7,552.
Maths is completely off there.
We'll sort what, it's over 7,000 yards and it's over a par 70 anyway.
It's definitely one of them.
But as well, they've reduced loads of the landing areas in the fairway to like 25 yards in width, so it's going to suit the more accurate player.
Yeah. Have you gone through that thought process when you've selected your players?
Well,
or?
That's what I was about to come on to. Like, I've went for John Rahm from pot one.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, I can see why. Obviously, he comes in as defending champ, don't even know it's on a different course. He beat DJ last year. Remember,
in
he held
style,
that
though,
66
with the big,
foot.
With the big putt, yeah.
Unbelievable, yeah. But I was looking at him. John Rahm carded an opening round here last year at 75 to come back and win. He started 75-71, then went 66-64, playoff 66-foot putt, held, win, whatever. The last player to open with a 75 at the BMW Championships to go on to win, do you know who it was?
Tiger.
Walter Hagen back in 1925.
What? Did not see that coming.
Just show it doesn't happen, does it? So it was, you know what, to see what he'd done there was unbelievable. So I can see why you've picked him.
Where's Walter Hagen going in your picks?
Are we doing picks now?
I don't know. I just thought we were just talking about John Rahm, so I just thought I'd tell you that he's going as pot one.
He's your pot one pick, yeah. A couple of players who are not in my picks, but one's definitely to look out for. I mentioned before, didn't I, Rory's got to be careful.
Yeah.
He's 28th in the FedEx, so he definitely needs a good week. But another three players who are on the cups of potentially not making it to the Tour Championships. Scotty Scheffler, who I think's had a great season.
No, yeah, well, it seems like he has, isn't he?
He's 24th. Daniel Berger. Who won?
24th, you're in, aren't you?
You are in, but what I'm saying is it's you're on the cups, aren't you? Of going out, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think anything from 20, I get anything from top 20 and out, you can potentially get taken, can't you? So
yeah.
When you consider the points, Daniel Berger's 23rd and Dustin Johnson's 22nd.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, keep an eye on them four. Rory, 28, Scotty, 24, Berger, 23, and DJ, 22. And there's a chance maybe one or a couple of them might not see it out, or they may be comfortable.
So if Patrick Reed, if everything goes whatever this his way this week, and he is in the top 30, what happens then? Just goes to 31.
Well, he's not. He's 29th, isn't he? Patrick Reed, is he
29th?
26th. Because there's no cut, is there?
Everyone's going to get points, you mean?
Everyone
so
will get
he's
points.
He's more than likely going to drop out.
It's highly unlikely he's going to be there, yeah.
I see. Well, what if he was first? Obviously not, but like he's just going to quit. He's just not playing.
He'd just have to withdraw, yeah, and then he just, whoever was 31st, because I think it's the top 30 that get through, but if he was first, for example, he would withdraw, whoever was second would start at 10 under, and then the 31st place would then become 30th.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
Yeah, and we just do it that way.
Do you know John Rahm's had 13 top 10s this season?
Has he? Mm. He's been playing very well, hasn't he?
Sick, isn't he?
He's had a couple of withdrawals as well, because it could have been more.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. More wins as well.
So selections then, you're going for John Rahm, pot one.
Yeah.
It was a good week this week. Obviously, Danny Jones, top point scored this week with 60 points. So he stretched his lead at the top.
Oh, no.
But Gareth had 40, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Sproul, Andy had 55. So the top three, them, they're the top three were over the 700-point mark going into these last two events.
I got 50, was looking up the board thinking, yes, top point two, it's got top point two, top point scorer, top point scorer. And then just seen bang, 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 fourth.
They just always, the top players in the league always seem to do well, don't they? So
honestly, I think you just give them points, mate.
We'll have to get them on and get them to talk through the thought process. You did have a great week, 50 points, but I got 40. So I'm still on your coattail.
You're on your coattail, yeah.
I am, ready to get you.
Close but no cigar at the minute.
I will take you. Pot one, I've gone Colin Morikawa.
Oof.
I just think he's been...
You haven't picked him all season, have you?
I haven't, no. I think he's... just lost his number one spot there. He'll be wanting it. He'll be wanting to take that 10 under lead going into the Tour Championships.
And he deserves it, by the way.
I know, you love that, don't you? But yeah. I just, you know, he didn't have the best of tournaments last week, but, you know, he's a man in form, his knee's on fire. So if anyone can do it this week, I think he can.
No, definitely good picks.
Pot
two. Pot two's a bit of a mad one for me because I wrote Lowry, but then I deleted it. And I've put Neiman. I've gone for Joaquim Neiman.
All right.
Making a little bit of a return.
Yeah, you used to always pick him, didn't you, for the Chilean connection?
The Chilean connection.
Where is he, Neiman, is he?
21st.
Right, so he's more than likely going to get top 30, isn't he? But he will need a good week. Yeah, no, good pick. I've gone Sam Burns.
Yeah, you like and him,
And his moustache, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like him, to be fair. I think he's at... I think if Tiger Woods turns around and says that someone's a special talent when they play with them, he's always one to watch.
Oh, definitely. And he proved it, didn't he? Got the line, got in the playoff.
Yeah.
Like he's had a go, hasn't he?
Won on tour this season, so definitely. So I just think he's had a great season. And he was up there again last week. He was challenging, wasn't he? So back on Sam Burns. What about pot three?
I've gone for Van Rooyen.
Van Rooyen, yeah, man in form, isn't he?
Just because, I don't know, I just like, obviously he was flying money, he's won recently, and then he had that seven, didn't he, as well, on that par three, which was a disaster.
Disaster for him,
but then he come back, didn't he, a couple of birdies and an eagle, and finished strongly, so I think that'll be really lingering on his mind, and he'll want to prove...
Well, he's obviously playing some really good stuff. If he's competing at the top and he's in the final group on a Sunday of a playoff event.
1,000,000%, yeah.
So, and what did he have on the Saturday? It was a 62, was it? 9 under?
Yes.
Or 10 under. So he's or 63, whatever it was. But obviously playing some really good stuff. Kevin Kisner, I've gone.
Have you? Yeah.
Recently.
Well, I don't think you've picked any of these this season.
So I've picked Sam a few times, Burns. But Kisner, yeah, I just... winner at the Wyndham only a couple of weeks ago. You know, he's... He needs to make a big push as well for the Tour Championship. He's currently 31st.
Yeah.
And we spoke, didn't we, after he won at the Wyndham. Is he the type of person that you'd want to put in your Ryder Cup team? So if he wants to stay on Stricker's mind, I think he needs a big push now to... He wants to be at the Tour Championship, so he's one of the players that Stricker will be looking at. So,
no, definitely.
At 31st, I just fancy him to have a good week.
Yeah. And then pot four, obviously, you're going to go for big Hood.
Yeah, we have
to. He's 40th, isn't he? So, like...
He's got a chance. He's got a chance.
One win, three top tens this season. Like, if he gets another little, what do you need? Probably a top five, maybe, to get through.
Yeah, I'd say top five will definitely get him through. Yeah, I think top 10 might even get it. Might even squeeze him in.
I think he might bubble it there, mightn't he? Just depending on other results.
Other results, yeah. But he's definitely got an opportunity. I'd obviously fact check this. I don't know whether he's actually ever been to the Tour Championships before at East Lake. So I don't remember. I don't remember him being there, but it'd be great to see him there. But yeah, you're right. I've picked him too.
Do you know who the highest ranked player in the FedEx without a win is?
This season?
Yeah. Yeah, think of this. I rise up.
Louis Eustason?
Yeah.
How has he not won this season,
That's
man?
Mad, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? How has he not won this season?
It's funny, isn't it?
He's another player to watch, though, you know, any week. I know,
and
again.
The showstopper. Number 13th there. No wins this season. 8 top 10s.
Well, he won the gold medal, didn't he?
Yeah, but...
Counts for something,
counts
surely.
Counts for nothing, to be honest.
And you don't get no FedEx points for that.
No, would.
Got some races to buy points, though, which was mad.
Very mad.
Yeah, but... Look, we're closing in on the end of the season, but like you mentioned there...
It's the penultimate event of our inaugural season.
Yes. And it's also our... first episode that we'll be releasing in year two of the Bogey Boys podcast. So congratulations on it.
Calendar year.
Yeah. So congratulations on a good first year, mate. I've appreciated
it. Enjoyed it.
Appreciated having you here then.
Well, I read that stat, didn't I? Most podcasts don't get past episode 3. 90% of podcasts don't get past episode 3. And of the 10% that do, 90% of them don't get past episode 20. So by making 21 episodes, you're in the top percentile of all podcasts ever.
Well, I can see why, though, because it's not an easy task, is it?
And there's not much back, is there? It's like it's like almost like a hobby, isn't it, for a minute?
Exactly, well, yeah.
Hopefully we'll...
Well, we've got loads of plans, haven't we? I know we say this all the time. We've got loads planned. It's just, you know, baby steps. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day and all that jazz. So, you know, again, great chat with you.
Don't start. Don't even start this. Great chatting with you. Look, can't wait to come back next week and review it all again. You were about to do that.
I was, well, I love finishing the show like that. Yeah. We'll leave it there then. Until next week, it's been a pleasure as always, brother.
Brother, ciao.
See you soon.
Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.